Hey man, say man, hey man, say man, welcome back to another episode. Yes sir, we back. We on the grind, man. Grind 24/7 2020 season. You know what's going on. We grinding all 2020. But today episode is about, is Conor McGregor the most pulverizing? Now, what I mean pulverizing, I mean like the most, I ain't gonna say the best necessarily, but the most known, or with most known, including his ring, his in-cage ability, his figure, his income, his everyone, his face, basically the most pulverizing combat sports athlete of this decade, which is last decade, basically. But you know what I'm saying, 2020, you know what I'm saying? Since it's 2020, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna start with that, and then we're gonna talk about the NFC AFC championship game and college football playoffs. So let's get started. Let's get it. So Conor McGregor, he just beat Donald Cerrone, the Cowboy, all-time UFC knockout, all-time UFC wins, all-time UFC head kicks. He got a lot of records, but he won in 40 seconds. He came in, started off, tried to hit the left straight. Cowboy ducked, he got hit with the knee a little bit, came up, got him in the clinch, hit him with a shoulder, caught Cowboy off guard. Cowboy like, oh, bad, had to get right. Oh my God, what bad, wet. Then he hit another one, bah. He like, oh shit, fuck, oh God, my nose, ah. Nose started bleeding, ah. One more time, ah. Hit him with another one. It was over with. After that, they got rid of a clinch, hit him with a nice, beautiful outside leg kick, which usually that's Cowboy known for. So it was weird. Conor McGregor even said it in the post interview. He was like, I had hit him with a kick, because you know that's what he's known for. That's, he got an all time record in kicks or whatever. So he hit him with a kick, and then once he dropped him, he started hitting with some bombs with the lefts. And then Herb Dean gave Cowboy a long time to recover himself and get back up, but because Cowboy is tough, but he couldn't get back up. Now, let's get to why I think he might be the most pulverizing combat sports athletes in the last 10 years. I mean, of course, you got people like John Jones. You got people like Floyd, Manny, Javante, Terrence Crawford, Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder. You got people like that, but McGregor has took it to a... It's between him and Floyd, and... Of course, Floyd makes more money. He has a bigger face, but he's been doing it longer. So I'll say, out of the new people, it has to be Conor, just because like of the brand. He really went from nothing to probably the second most known athlete, combat sports athlete at that, in the world. Got his own whiskey brand. Changed the UFC completely around. UFC was known, but since when Conor got in, it's just, their brand has increased 1,000% because of Conor. I mean, of course, he's not the greatest fighter in UFC history. He's not even in the top five right now, because you still got John Jones, who's arguably maybe the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. If it wasn't for that one no contest, yeah, he would be have a perfect record right now. Just dominates every single opponent he goes against. Maybe he'd probably be top five combat sports athletes of all time. And he probably is. Like, that man is amazing. I know he's the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, but combat sport, he's up there. He's probably in the top 10 for combat sport, including boxing and everything else. He's probably top 10. But just looking at how his weight, he's done changed the MMA game, and not everyone wants to be this cocky person, wears suits, and has this brash attitude. And all that came from Conor. It started with Conor. And all these people want to do it, and they follow the leader. And he's just changed combat sports as a whole. And from the dark days of MMA, when MMA was hardly known, couldn't even get on TV, and I mean, it got better before Conor, like a couple years before Conor got there. But Conor, now he has like three of his fights are like the top 10 selling combat sports, like the office, the box office or whatever, the gate when you come in, or like ticket sales, pay-per-view sales, all that, top 10 of all time. He has like two or three fights like that, and it's just like he has changed the way the game is shown. It's not just boxing that's supposed to be the top draw now. UFC has top draws now, top 10, top 20, top 30. And it's just, if Khabib can beat Tony Ferguson and they can get the get his rematch, that might be probably top five greatest box. I ain't gonna say it's gonna be the greatest matches, but the sales are gonna be unprecedented. The first match had crazy sales. It's probably gonna be out there with Floyd and him, Floyd and Connor, and everyone wants a piece of him because that's their check. That's how they gonna get paid. Everyone wants to fight. It's like, it'll be like somebody flying Floyd. Like, it's like you're going to get a check regardless. That's your pay. That's probably gonna be the biggest pay that you ever make in your career. And Connor doesn't even have a belt, and that's probably that's the biggest payday Cerrone has ever gotten. And Connor didn't even have the belt yet. He just came back off a 15-month layoff. Ring rust, you cannot tell at all. 15-month layoff looked like that. Whew. But now we get to the AFC NFC Championship game. We're gonna talk about the Titans game first. I missed the first half of the game. I caught the second half of the game. Titans was doing the same thing, doing what they do again. Unorthodox points, say least. Derrick Henry, he had a decent first half. Second half, he didn't do absolutely nothing. They had him in a box. But as I say, I wouldn't necessarily had him in a box. It's the fact they was behind, and Chiefs had that high power offense, so you have to score. You're gonna have to score, and they started throwing the ball more than they ever had to. Tannehill had over 150 passing yards, maybe 200, but that's not their game plan. Their game plan is to get the ball to Derrick Henry and run it down their throat, and they couldn't do that because they was behind in the second half. They could do it in the first half. That's why they was up. But when the second half came, when they came behind, they can't do that no more. And that just took out 75% of their 90%, 80% of their offense. Once you take that out, it was easy to stop them. And Chiefs put on a whooping on them boys. And it's the Chiefs. Like, they should have been there last year. They came back, got that thing done this year. But can they do it? Can they get that big one? Because Andy Reid hasn't won a championship. And he's known for losing them big games. So let's see if he can do it. We got a young, I'm telling people, it's like a passing of the torch. Like, if you notice, like Drew Brees didn't make it far. Phillip Rivers didn't even make the playoffs. Tom Brady, it's the passing of the torch. All the great quarterbacks that's 35 and up. It's the pass. Ben Roethlisberger hurt. It's like the passing of the torch is coming. Like, you got Lamar, Patrick Holmes, you got Deshaun Watson, you got Jimmy Garoppolo isn't great, but Jimmy Garoppolo, like, you got the young quarterbacks coming up now, and you got some that's coming up in the draft. I mean, you still got, like, the ones that's been good by a lot of their career. Like, you still got, like, a Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan. You still got people like that that's still around that 30, 29, 30, 31, 32 range that's still good, that's in their prime. But, like, the older Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, they're on their last legs. It's just the passing of the torch. It just wasn't bound to happen. And that's just what's going on right now. And and then the Chiefs defense played way better than I thought it would. I thought Henry was going to go off for 150. Their defense played a lot better than I thought it would. And at the same time, you got an offense like that that keeps the defense off the field. That helps, too, so that they playing behind. That helps a lot. And to the 49ers game. The 49ers. They put that thing on the pack. I told y'all the pack was overrated. Well, you got to follow me on my Twitter. OrlandoLawson_ on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. On my sports page. They put that thing on them. I told you I was going to lose. The Packers are an overrated team. They haven't really beat no one. I mean, they got a good record, but they haven't blown no one out. Like, all they wins be like 10 points or less. They haven't really put that thing on nobody. They could barely even beat a washed up Detroit team without Matthew Stafford. Like, I could tell that it was false. The defense was better than they usually are, but they still don't have no top 10 defense. They don't have that crazy edge rusher. I mean, they got they got Smith. My bad, Smith. I ain't even talking about you like that. He was a snub for the Pro Bowl. I mean, All Pro. But they team just, I figure they don't have enough weapons against them. And 49ers has an amazing defense. They don't have enough weapons. They had Jimmy Graham. The only person that really did anything, they had Jones who did something. Graham who did something late when it really didn't matter. And Devontae Adams. So they really only had two pieces. All them resting pieces didn't do nothing. Jones had his own, but I feel like if they would have kept it closer, that game could have been a lot better. Because Jones was getting run yards, but at the same time, you can't really say that because they was playing, I don't want to say they playing prevent defense, but they really weren't carrying their help in the run, as long as it wasn't no big run or like a big, big pass play. They really went, they were letting that little dink and dunk stuff because they was making tackles. I don't remember them missing them too many tackles. They probably missed like two or three tackles. Matthews out there hitting. The linebacker number 46 was out there hitting. 49, 46, something like that. They was out there hitting. And it was just like, 49ers proved a lot of people wrong with that defense. They didn't even have to pass the ball like that. I think Garoppolo threw like 8-9 passes. They that defense showed out. That front seven is amazing. Richard Sherman played a great game. He got beat on that one play by Devontae, but he came back with made up for a pick. Him and Darrell Revis was going back and forth on Twitter, but I mean Darrell Revis was 2 years older than Sherman, a year. He about, I think Sherman 31 and he 33. They both probably in their ninth season. See what, one is on the bench, one is on the one at home, and one starting in Super Bowl again. A lot of people forget Richard Sherman had an Achilles injury. I think it was last year or the year before. Like, he had an Achilles injury. And, like, people thought that was it for Richard. Seahawks got rid of him, traded him there, but he came back and he showed that he's still top five cornerback in this league. And that run game, I don't even remember the boy's name, but he went stupid. Prayers up for that boy Coleman, too. I want to see Coleman get him a Super Bowl ring. So that just tell you, I think the 49ers are going to win. I think their defense is too much for the Chiefs to handle. But I think if it's a low-scoring game, 49ers are going to win. If it's a high-scoring game, I believe it's the Chiefs win just because they offense. I believe their offense is better. And the Chiefs actually has a decent run game, decent run defense just because I've seen what they can do against Derrick Henry. But I believe if it's a high-scoring game, the Chiefs will win. Low-scoring game, 49ers win. But just in total, I believe the 49ers win just because I believe in their front seven. They don't have more weapons necessarily, but they do have the weapons to keep up with them a little bit. But that defense, I feel like the defense is going to overpower the Chiefs, but it's going to get like one or two crucial stops. Like, they might get like one or two crucial stops in the first half, first quarter, get like a crucial stop in the fourth quarter. That's going to help the 49ers either keep a lead or gain a lead. And I feel like the 49ers are going to win the game. Kyle Shanahan, he's going to win the Super Bowl. Oh man, that hurts to say. Like, I bet if they win the Super Bowl, a lot of people are gonna be like, why we didn't keep Kyle Shanahan over Dan Quinn? We should have fired Dan Quinn and kept Kyle Shanahan. I bet that's what people are gonna say. And it was an amazing game. I mean, no, them games was horrible. Now let's talk about another horrible game. I mean, Clemson kept up with them in the first quarter. But you can tell it was over, like, the first player screaming at LSU had Joe Burrow. I think that was backed up on the goal line. And Burrow, he had got rushed. He had, like, two people. He shook both of them off. Did some woo-de-woo Cam Newton, Mike Vick stuff. And threw, like, a 60-yard bomb. But I think it was, like, pass interference or holding or something. I was like, that boy's a different breed. Now, I don't know how good he going to be in the league. Because he already, like, what, 24, 25? I could Brandon Whedon. Like, you know, y'all remember Brandon Whedon? Came out, he's, like, 27 already. I mean, he is. But Joe Burrow is a dog. I don't think they're going to be as good next year because Burrow was just that good of a player. Like, he was just that transcendent. He was like a Tim Tebow. He was that transcendent of a player. Like, that's like one in a lifetime player you ever going to get in college. Like, that defense was impeccable, amazing run game, great offensive line, great wide receivers. They got first-round draft picks all around their defense. They definitely their cornerbacks. They gave Clemson and Trevor Lawrence hell. It was crazy because that was Trevor Lawrence's first loss of his career. So, that just showed how good that defense was. A lot of people were slept on Clemson. I thought Clemson was going to make a closer game because a lot of people were slipping on Clemson. A lot of people didn't expect Clemson to get this far, which I got that far, and I give Clemson a lot of respect. But they went crazy on them. Joe Burrow, that's a bad man right there. That boy was a goddamn. He was the white Cam Newton, but he was looking like God out there, but that boy was looking like Jehovah, boy. Wick, boy. That boy was going stupid, boy. They couldn't stop him, boy. That boy was going stupid out there. And it was just so crazy because, like, no one expected him to be this good. Like, he was transferred, a super senior, like his fifth year. No one expected that man to be that good. And he just showed you, like, if you got the right system, the right people around, the right talent, the right coaching, you can be great. As long as somebody gives you the capability of showing that talent. And Clemson played. They tried their hardest, but they couldn't do nothing. Georgia should have been in the game, but it's cool because they play like trash in a way. Bump Georgia. But that's enough about football. Let's get back to McGregor. Well, not really McGregor, USC in general. a lot of people sleep on that Khabib and Tony Ferguson fight. I believe it's going to be probably the top 10 fights of you. It's going to be a sorry for an amazing fight because Tony Ferguson is going to pressure the mess out of Khabib. And that's what Khabib struggles with. Like, if you see this fight with Dustin Poirier and like his earlier fights, he struggles more with like pressure fighters and people that's not scared of being taken down. Even McGregor on that first little scram they had, even though McGregor lost, he made Khabib work for that first takedown, even though he still didn't even get it. So I feel like a pressure fighter is Khabib's worst nightmare. And Ferguson has an amazing jiu-jitsu guy, an amazing ground guy. I think he's a black belt. So that's going to be an amazing fight. That's going to be, if no one gets hurt, and that fight actually happened, if something crazy by the gods don't get messed up, that's going to be an amazing fight. But hey, man, say, man, hey, man, say, man, that's in the podcast, man. Follow me on Twitter, Orlando Lawson _. Follow me on all social media. Don't forget to like the podcast, share the podcast, play the podcast on all platforms. But that's it. Hey, man, say, man.